Welcome to In Divine Flow, your podcast for conscious mompreneurs. I'm Yasmin, your host, and today I welcome Pia, my second interview guest, and I'm super, super, super excited. Pia, we are together in a business mastermind. I've met you, I think, a couple of weeks ago for the first time in person in Portugal.
Yes.
And I have to say, I'm a big fan. I'm
Ooh,
a very big fan.
Great.
And you're also a conscious mompreneur. That's why you're here, obviously. And we're going to talk about all the ups and downs of being a conscious mompreneur. And I know you have a lot of gifts to share. So our listeners today, I think you will pick out a lot of things for yourself. I'm sure of that. So welcome, Pia.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
Nice. Let's start. Actually, it's a good example today, right? Because we had to postpone our Zoom recording a little bit because your little one wasn't really ready to leave you today, right? What happened there?
Yeah, it's a perfect example, I think. We have a nanny and she comes here every day of the week, well, of the working week, Monday to Friday. And we had an exciting weekend. My brother and his twin children, they came over, and my daughter, she's four and a bit. She loves to play with them, but it was exciting. It was really exciting. So this morning she didn't want to let me go to work. So my going to work is just going up the stairs, but she knows when I'm working, I'm working just for a few hours. And she loves her nanny. They love playing together and having time together. But this morning, she said, "I don't want you to leave." And she clung to me and she needed hugs and cuddles and kisses and just a lot of extra attention and connection and safety. And, well, I was just observing the clock and time was ticking. And I've become really well at not putting pressure on her, especially when I'm under pressure. It was a long journey to get there, I can tell you that.
How do you do that?
A lot of breathing, but breathing is only like half of it. I think the main thing is that I discovered so much bullshit with, like, in my own brain, like what is really important. And when I get dysregulated, the stories that I tell myself, they sound more convincing. And the stories are like, "We cannot be late." And is that true?
Nice one.
Can we? Can't we? And mostly, yes, we actually, you know what? We can be late. You know? And for me, it's so important to tell my daughter that we are not constantly in a rush, because my body thinks we're constantly in a rush. So when I get dysregulated, I try to calm myself down, ask myself the question, how important is this thing that I think at the moment is so important? Is this really so important? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is, but mostly it isn't.
Correct. Yeah.
So, and then I can just like release a bit of the pressure, which regulates my nervous system, and my nervous system equals her nervous system. It's just the same thing. When I'm dysregulated, she's going to be dysregulated. When I'm regulated, she's going to regulate. And well, this morning, yeah, I told you, and you said, "It's okay, let's start later. Would that be a help?" And I said, "Yes, that helps." So we started later. And I kept thinking, like, what kind of privilege it is. Like, how privileged are we both to be able to just push a meeting half an hour later? And then I got so mad, because it's true, we're privileged, but it makes me so mad that we call it privileged to be able to be there for our children. You know?
Yeah, true.
I got so mad just thinking about it. Like, so many women can't do what we do. They have to be there. They have to be at work.
They have to put the pressure on the child.
They have to put the pressure on the child, or they kill themselves not to put the pressure that they are holding, not to put the pressure on the child. The child will notice anyway, you know,
for sure.
Because the pressure is there. It's in the system. And then it gets worse. Like you try not to put the pressure on the child. The child notices anyway, and at some point, everyone's gonna explode. But we
Yeah.
have to go to childcare. We have to go to the keton. Wow. Just crying. Mother is crying. Everyone's crying. And like, it's morning. This is how you start your day.
It will be the whole day like this, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is
And
the
as a
energy.
mother, you're gonna battle with conflicting things. Like, I have to work. And you probably even want to work. You want to go to work because you need some time to feel like something else, like as a mother, like not only a mother, you need to feel like something else. So you want to go to work, but you want to be there for your child. You
The
want
guilt,
both.
right?
And we've, as a human race, we've built a system where it's either or. Both is not
Yeah.
possible. And that just drives me insane.
And I think it could be probably easily be possible if we all would be a little bit more flexible, or everyone would acknowledge that mothers need this flexibility to see what works and what doesn't work in that moment. Maybe it's a good morning and they come earlier to work if the child wants to go, early and is a good mood. And maybe it's another morning where, it's a bit off and we need a bit more time. And what I realized is every single time I feel like it's not the right time to do a meeting, and I say it and I, tell the other person, because actually last week we scheduled for the first time. And that's when I said, it doesn't feel right. And then every single time the other person, for me, I noticed, says, oh, thank you. It wasn't actually right for me either.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, last week my
But no
morning was
one,
totally mad too.
yeah, but then no one does it or said, wants to say this, to be the bad person, the one who didn't make it, the one who didn't, attend or is punctual or is,
So unprofessional.
yeah, whatever,
Yeah,
whatever you
I
want to
know.
call it,
Blah, blah, blah.
yeah,
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
exactly.
that all the bullshit stuff.
Yeah.
But what if, we all trust a little bit more in divine timing? Because maybe if we would have forced that interview last week, it wouldn't have been that good. We wouldn't have
Yeah,
had
probably.
the introduction issue today,
Yeah.
or whatever, we never know. We don't really know what is the right timing, do we?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think most of the like working world is so far away from like trusting in divine timing. I just had a conversation with my brother this weekend, and his wife works a job, and
A
the senior,
job.
well, she works a job. I don't want to go into detail because it's not relevant. She works a job. And in this job, there is an old white man who's CEO. And the CEO
Obviously.
literally says, I don't believe in home office.
I don't believe. I said
Yeah,
something you believe in.
exactly.
Oh, okay.
I
I
don't
didn't know that.
believe in home office. So he makes people, like, he drags them away from their families. And it's like the opposite of being flexible and trusting in divine timing. Like, he says, people at home don't work. So I need them here at least 2 days a week. So he puts families under an enormous amount of pressure because this lack of flexibility, it doesn't only like it doesn't only impact the working person, it impacts the entire family system. And usually it's, well, in this case, she's the one who needs to work a lot and travel a lot, and my brother is the one taking more care of the children. Usually the rule is it's the other way around still. And still, it's like the entire family system is struggling so much. And if we just like implemented this kind of flexibility to all people who need to work a lot, the entire family would just be able to breathe more, you know, be flexible.
And then this affects in the microcosmos also around the family. It affects, every single person that is then affected, and da 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 da, and that will spread out, and then the whole world is really affected, right? Because it always starts
Yeah.
within the family, and that spreads out in the world. I think that's where we are
Yeah, absolutely.
missing the link, oftentimes, I think.
Yeah, and usually it's the woman who tries to hold everything. She's the one who tries to calm the child, to calm her own nervous system, who does all the emotional labor in the family, who holds everything and then goes to work.
Yeah, and then holds everything there,
Exactly, and holds everything
oftentimes,
there.
right? And I
Yeah.
think I had to think about this last week, because when I was in the corporate world, obviously there were mothers working with me as well alongside, and I
Yeah.
had no freaking idea what that means
Neither.
because they never said anything. And I
Absolutely.
thought, oh, that, must be easy. I don't know. I didn't
Yeah, but
know.
I
Isn't
didn't
that
think at all about
terrible?
it.
I didn't even think about it. Yes.
Yeah, at all, because children in the corporate world, I've seen the corporate world too, they don't
Non-existing.
exist.
Isn't that freaking crazy?
I cannot imagine right now. I've said so many times to myself, I apologize to all the mothers that I knew before I became
Yeah.
one myself. I'm
Thank
so
you.
sorry because I had no freaking idea
We have to make a
about
reel
this
out of
life.
this. This is a very good tagline,
Really,
very
I apologize again today, right now. I
Yeah.
apologize to my friends, to my colleagues, to my sister, to my brother. I apologize to my mother. I apologize. I had absolutely no idea what it means to be a woman in this system that we live in, even in 2026.
What, but why do you have no idea? Because no one talks about it. And because no
Exactly.
one seems to be allowed to say anything or to say that they struggle or to say or to ask for more flexibility.
Yeah,
And
exactly. Yeah,
in the
because
end,
patriarchy tells us that this is how it's supposed to be. Don't
And but
complain. This is the happiest time of your life.
oh my
You're
God.
almost dying every day. You're a freaking superhuman who does the impossible multiple times a day. Like, really impossible things, but you do it every day. And you're supposed to just go to work and smile. You're stretching yourself so thin that you don't even exist anymore after a few years. And then people tell you just to smile more and not complain because, well, but your child is healthy, isn't it? Like,
But
be
healthy,
happy.
what does it mean, really?
Exactly. And when I look around, children show so many symptoms that are not like illnesses, but they show symptoms that are like stress related or pressure related, and they just show how we live our lives. That family time mostly takes place on the weekends because mom and dad have to work so hard during the week and make everything happen and just have to provide the structure to survive. And then everything happens on the weekends and you try to catch up on the weekend. Connection, family time, relaxation, which always comes last. And then you start all over again.
And I mean, who suffers most? Probably the kids, right? In the end. And then this is the new generation. So how are we, how is this world going to change ever if we are not starting with our kids now, right? Because, okay, we can work on ourselves, which we should. But let's be honest, we are already very far ahead. Not very far ahead, but we have those tiny humans
Yeah.
who are born perfectly, or not say not perfectly. I mean, we also have generational trauma, and they have it too. But they are born more pure, and we should, give them the space and the freedom to stay a little bit more like this, right? But then we put them into little prisons, like here on Crete. I looked at the kindergarten. I mean, I know there are different concepts. I don't want to judge all kind of concepts, but here they look like literal little prisons,
Oh
and they
God.
give their children there with 1 year or even less than a
Well, yeah.
year, and just give them to a child, to a care person there, without any time of adjustment, and not
Wow.
even 1 minute. And they have to give them away in front of the door, in front of the door. And
Jesus.
then they go
Wow, that's
into this
very
prison.
extreme, yeah.
It's so extreme here that I think, like, what the hell is still going on in this world? Like, and they, it's so strange because they love their children so much here. But
That's
then,
exactly the
yeah,
point, you
it's
know?
like,
And I think
how
there is
does it
no
work?
mother, like no mentally sane mother on the planet who like would do this voluntarily out of her heart, you know? But I think like we as mothers, we've been gaslit for such a long time to do things that our intuition would prohibit us from doing. Like I guess I swear, if you talked to a mother who had to do that, what you just described for the first time, go
She
there
would
and
not
give
like
her
it.
child away to someone she doesn't really know and leave their child there. And you tell them, how do you feel right now? None of these women would say, oh, I'm happy.
Easier.
You know, maybe they tell themselves that they're happy because they have to in order to survive the situation, but no sane mother likes to give their child to a stranger. You know? And I think what we do here, like this podcast, is like it's a place where you can talk about this stuff to tell other women you're not crazy if you have these feelings. Like when you go look around and you see other women or other families, and you feel like this is not how it's supposed to be. This doesn't feel right. Or someone tells you to do something to your child, and you're like, it doesn't feel right. No, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. And I think the more women talk about this feeling, this gnawing feeling within them, like something is not right here, the more you talk about it, the more other people talk about it, and the more you'll discover all the other mothers, you will be like, yes, I thought so
Thank
too.
you.
Let's try
Someone
to
said
find out
it.
what is wrong here. You know, and maybe, I don't know, three mothers from Crete listen to this podcast, and one starts to just utter the doubt of this being okay. And then the other two hear it. And those three go to the little prison and they tell them.
Wait.
Back. And they tell the person who runs this little prison, hey, couldn't we do things slightly differently? And then a conversation starts. No, it's not going to save the world, but well, saving the world is like a million tiny drops. It's not just waiting for the big wave, you know? And I think talking about it and reclaiming, well, this is hooky. Reclaiming our truth, like, you know, reclaiming our intuition. But this is
But it
what it's
is
all
like
about.
this. Yeah, it is like this. I think trusting more the inside voice than the outside voice, right, in the end.
Yeah.
And when it comes to mothering, I think there's so many outside voices that want to have a say in it. And
Yeah.
in the end, I think really only the mother can tell. Okay, maybe the father a little bit, but then in the end, only the mother can tell. And there's so many voices from the outside, also like experts, like doctors. I don't know. And also there, because we've learned that these authority figures are more important than the inner intuitive voice as a mother. And I think this is something we really, really, really have to question. Because, some of you know that I have a We have a long medical history with Ananda, and we went to public hospitals, and that is, what happens to children there, you don't want to know. And at some point, I had to interfere. And I also had to say that because we had such a difficult issue, that they actually, the doctors, also the specialists and experts, at some point, they didn't have a clue what's going on with her, what the real problem is. And I said, there is something wrong. And they even looked like in an operational, in one of the operations, they looked into the system and they couldn't find anything. But I knew as a mother, I knew she really was struggling. She really had pain. And at some point, there was a pus coming out of her vagina and green, inflammated stuff, and a whole bag of it, like so out of a tiny human being, right? And I was like, see, looks like something is wrong, right? And I knew it all the time. And this is so crazy, that I had to insist on this, right? That something is wrong. And there was one doctor, and he said, okay, I trust you because you are the mother. But that was one doctor, And I think this is so terrible. And maybe there are mothers out there who are so far away from their own intuition that they give it away to the expert. But we need to, get it back, right? Get it back, the power inside of us as mothers, and really trust it, and also say it, like, don't only feel it and but keep it to yourself. You need to also speak about it, right? So something can
And
change.
sometimes I think there is a good reason we are afraid of our intuition. Like our intuition is pure power, and women who are powerful have been historically in danger. And like the danger feels really real, like existential danger to my life and the life of my loved ones. And for most women, like reclaiming intuition, reclaiming the power that comes with intuition, feels really dangerous. And sometimes reclaiming my intuition can feel like I have a weird feeling. Let me journal about it. It can be like the first step because it's safe. Or like finding like-minded women, or just one woman that I can share my doubt with and talk about it. And then I have a small safe space where I can explore my intuition. It doesn't have to
Love
be
that.
the big step first, because the big step will not feel safe. And if you wait for the big step to feel safe in order to finally be able to take the big step, it's not going to happen. It needs to be smaller. It needs to be a small step in the, where you can just try and try a taste of your intuition, and then it will widen, and it will come back, and it will get louder, and at some point it's going to be your best friend again. But it doesn't start with it being your best friend again. It starts with just listening to the doubt, listening to this tiny voice, and not shying away and saying, well, in case I really listen to my intuition, I'd have to change my entire life.
That's also a big
You
one, yeah.
know, it's a big one. And just listening doesn't mean you have to, I don't know, change countries and divorce your husband. And, it doesn't mean that, but it feels that dangerous.
Yeah.
And just
Because
listening,
it might in the end be the result, but if
it
you start,
might. It might, but it doesn't have to.
That's
And
true.
even if it really ends with you changing country and divorcing your husband, even if it really ends that way, you will be internally, you will be at a point where you decide that this is what you want to do, that you will be able to hold this truth. and
Yeah.
to just follow through, you'll be able to do all that because you grew into your intuition. Right now, at the spot where you don't even dare to really touch your intuition, this seems impossible. You
Yeah.
have to like grow it and nurture it, and it takes time.
It takes time and learning and unlearning and
A
healing and
lot of
looking at your
unlearning.
shit.
A lot of unlearning, yeah.
And all of that. And then I think motherhood only multiplies that, right? You know, and you also don't have the energy for the bullshit anymore. That's what I feel like, right? Because it's
Yeah.
like, I can't hold the bullshit anymore. I can't hold it up, right? Because I just don't have the energy from all the emotional regulating all the time. No more time for that, right? Or how do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I was able to take so much shit before I became a mother. And well, for me personally, the biggest thing I had to learn was setting boundaries. I didn't have to before. I even had burnout before. I was in the corporate world, I had burnout, and I just restarted everything after again. But then I became a mother. And then I realized at a certain point, it's not only me. I have problems setting boundaries, and I constantly give more than I have. But my child, she's not able to set boundaries, so I have to do that for her. And in the system that we live in, the system tends to be really cruel to children. So, like, even in a stupid everyday situation, I have my child with me and we go grocery shopping. And there is an elderly man and he comes up to my cart and he touches my child in the face and says, "What a cutie." This is not okay. I do not want my child to learn that it's okay to be touched by elderly men. It's not okay. So the first time it happened, I totally froze. I fawned and said, "Ah, yeah, she's cute."
Yeah, oh,
And I went
same.
home and
And that's like not
cried
right.
because I understood the magnitude of this situation. And I said, "How the hell am I going to learn to not let that happen again?" And it was such a journey. It was such a journey. And I'm still like, now it doesn't happen a lot because she's older. But still, like I'd be able to prevent it from happening, and still I'd go home and I'd like shake and sweat, you know,
Yeah, because
because
it's
like
not what you do, right?
it's not what you do, and my body
No.
will be on fire, but I have
Yeah.
to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot wait for my body to miraculously evolve into something that can set boundaries without practicing it. This
Yeah,
is
yeah,
not how it
yeah.
works.
Yeah.
And this is like a really, really tough lesson for me.
I
Still,
also,
I do it
yeah.
now. I can do it now, but it doesn't feel good. It feels shitty. Women are
Yeah.
not allowed to set boundaries.
No.
We have to do it
No.
anyway.
It's actually funny because I had the same situation here and also on Crete. This mentality is like this. They come up and also the older elderly people mainly. Oh, so cute. And then touch her in the face and she hates it. And now I keep saying, no, thank you. She doesn't want to be touched. And they look at me like I'm an alien. Like, who the
Yes,
hell are you?
because in their world, you are like what an
Yes.
overprotective, hysterical woman,
Yeah.
you know. But if you turn it around, I'm not there yet. I wish I were, but I applaud women who just turn it around and just touch the person in the face and say, "Yeah, you're a cutie too," you know.
Actually, someone told me this last week that she knows someone who does that.
Yeah,
I
oh,
had to
I applaud every woman who is
putting
that
the in the
badass.
cheek, right? You know, this
Yeah, exactly. Like the pinch in the cheek. Like, yeah,
yeah.
you're a cutie too. You
I
know?
would laugh my face off if you do that, Pierre. That would be so funny.
Yeah, it would be really funny. But then there's a thing that really helped me that I read somewhere. When you are in a situation with your child, like someone talks to your child and tells them it happens too, right? Like, oh,
Mm-hmm.
be careful, you're gonna fall. You know, these things that or whatever they comment, they do things or whatever. It's not important to lecture them. You will not convince them that their upbringing was shitty and that's why they talk to your child like that. It's not going to happen. And it's not important in this situation. What is important is that you directly turn to your child and talk to them about the situation at hand. Like, for example, well, it happened a lot that it's mostly elderly people tell my child to be careful because she jumps around in the cart when we go grocery shopping. It's her thing. She's safe. It's okay, you know? And elderly people pass by and they're like, "Oh, be careful, honey, you're gonna fall." So I turn instantly to my child, look her in the eye, and ask her, "Do you feel safe?" And she looks at me and says, "Yes." And then I turn to the person. She's safe.
Nice.
You know, and the last bit isn't necessary. The other person's opinion is not relevant, you know. And like when I, well, at some point, another person touched her again, and I was just around the corner, so she was alone, like not alone. I was in eyesight, you know, but I wasn't right next to her, and a person touched her and went away before I was back with her. So it was like, oh, I hated the situation. But then I could talk to her and tell her, was it okay for you that someone touched you? And she said no. And I said, yes, I'm sorry. I didn't pay attention. I will not let that happen again. It's good that you tell me that it wasn't okay for you. I'm sorry. So she knows how to interpret the situation. She doesn't unconsciously learn that it's okay for strangers to touch her. It's not okay. So it might not even not always be in our power to prevent stuff from happening, but you can always talk to your child about it and always like set the perception of reality right. Because the gaslighting is everywhere. You have to set
Everywhere.
reality straight, you know? That's what they learn.
So important, my daughter is also a little bit afraid of a man, and she also tells me now, which is good. Like she says, oh no, I don't want to go there because we have a lot of men in the house to do the work, you know, because
Yeah,
they
sure.
finish the house. And then she's afraid of them. And I say, it's good, you know, keep telling me when you are afraid, and I will make sure that you're safe and you're safe with me. You can stay, you know, on my lap because I have to talk to them, you know, I can't take her away all the time. And that's maybe not the solution, but I think
Yeah.
it's about teaching them how to approach a situation like that and not telling her, no, they're okay, they won't do anything. Because then you tell her you're not right with how you feel. And I say, I try to tell her, okay, I see you're afraid, but you can stay with me. You're safe on in my arm, and then nothing will happen. And I just need to talk to them about something. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most powerful thing you can teach your child is that all the feelings they have are right. You know? And for me, it's one of the bigger, or it used to be one of the bigger challenges. Now it's not so much. That's one of the few things that actually really get better fast
When you
when you
practice.
practice. Exactly. Those things, for me, they got really better really fast. That I understood that I do not have to do anything to make her stop having the feeling. She can have the feeling. For example, to circle back to the beginning of our conversation, sometimes we have to be there at a certain time.
Yeah,
And
sometimes it is like this.
I have carried my screaming, struggling daughter under my arm to the car. It happened. It was one of the very few moments where she said, "I don't want to go." And I said, "But we have to." And yes, you can be angry. I understand you so well. So she was under my arm, screaming and struggling. And I said, like a mantra-wise, "I know you're so angry. I understand you so well. Yes, you can be angry. It's all right. Yes, you can scream. Let it out, you know?" And she screamed and screamed. And then we arrived at the car and she looked at me and she was so furious. And I said, "Yes, I understand you. You know what? I don't want to leave either." And sometimes we have to. This is one of the few moments where we both have to do something we hate. Come on, we do it and we hate it. And then it became a
it.
game. And then it became a game, like instantly became a game. She laughed and then she like stomped her little feet and we went to the car and I said, "Yes, oh, we hate it." And then we drove off.
Nice.
So the switching into a game might be a lucky coincidence. It probably doesn't work
It's not
every time.
always working, but it can if you
Yes.
try, right?
And it's so much easier. At some point, it's so much easier because you validate her feelings and I validate my own. Like the situation was still real. I didn't tell her that it wasn't going to be this bad. I don't even remember where we were going. Or that she, I don't know, shut up, we have to go or whatever. Why? The feelings are there anyway. So why not let them out?
I try also to now she I was wondering she kept telling me I cried here, I cried there, I cried and then and now I keep saying, yeah, that's good because crying means you're letting go and you let your feelings and your body can work with the feelings and let it out and then she looks at me. Ah, okay.
Yeah,
And
yes.
now it, I think it changed a little bit for her. The crying is
Because the
not
world
such a
will tell her
bad.
differently, so it's good that you tell her. Because crying is nothing more and nothing less than regulation.
It's not a
It's
bad thing,
nervous system
but we
regulation.
were told so much, and also like it's for us as well. Like, right? I had to relearn so much, and that, and while you hold the emotions, it's so hard to not let it affect you so much and that you get into this, oh, it's so bad. It's no, I'm okay, I'm grounded, I can hold it. But that was a
Yeah.
long journey for me as well.
Yeah. What is well, the smart. That's what I said. What is it? The smart, wise people say, what you resist persists.
It
You
does,
know,
it does,
and
yeah.
it does, especially with feelings. The more you try not to feel them, the stronger they're gonna come back. And I cry every day, probably. Yeah, there are a few days that I don't cry because we are like sentient beings, especially us women. We feel so much, and sometimes a weird feeling gets stuck, and then we dysregulate. And with my body and nervous system, this is 100% linked. I'm dysregulated. I'm stiff. I'm powering through, you know. And at some point, I notice. Sometimes very quickly, sometimes not that quickly. And then I notice, and then I try to do regulating stuff. Some, I don't know, dancing, yawning, depends on the state that I'm in. And at some point, I will start crying. And it means, ah, oh, finally it's
No.
working. Sometimes it's one tear, sometimes it's Niagara Falls. And it depends. But once I started noticing that it's a good sign that I'm finally crying and just letting it through, oh, my entire reality shifted.
Yeah, I love that one. Pierre, on my clock, and you're also a numbers girl, I know.
Yes.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 12:34.
Oh, we're
That
climbing the
means
steps.
we're climbing up the spiritual ladder. Love
Awesome.
that one.
Yes.
And that also means we have to come to an end. So,
Yes.
oh, we covered so much ground. Is there anything you want to tell a conscious mompreneur in your experience? What is like the one thing you would have loved to know beforehand?
You are not crazy. I think that's the one thing. When your intuition tells you that something is off, find like-minded people and they will like strengthen you in trusting your intuition and you will strengthen them. Win-win.
Yeah, I love that. This is the one thing I actually did wrong in the beginning because I mainly had older friends, school friends, and who were not so conscious or aren't so conscious. And they did it all so different. And then I felt so, crazy and
Alone.
alone, a lot alone with it. And now I'm finally finding the right people like you. And it makes such a difference, right? And I love that one. Thank you so much for sharing this, Pia. Amazing. And where can we find you, and how can people work with you if you felt like, wow, I love what Pia said?
I'm on Instagram. Yeah, probably on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. Ich bin Pia Hoffmann. It's German. Yeah.
We have a lot of German listeners, so
And in a few days, my website will be online again. That's piahoffmann.de. And you can work with me if you want to look at your shadows, because I'm working as a shadow work for domesticated women. So if you feel like a domesticated woman and you do not want to be, then you can work with me online and offline. I'm based in Germany, but I do always also do online work.
There was my sign outside. I will put everything in the show notes so people can find you. And thank you for your time, Pia.
Thank you for
Love to
having
have
me. I
you.
loved it. Bye.
Bye.